Good morning, I'm Michael Wilberlawson. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General of Manawa Regulation.
I'm George Nguyen, I'm Chief Director of Transport Management.
I'm Jeff Nguyen, I'm the Director for the Committee. I'm not with the Chief, I just call the Fraction Hub.
Stress plan itself and the annual report.
Department strategic with department strategy meeting, we have indicated from the presentation. It highlights the integrated planning approach that starts from what we want our department to be, what our customers, both external and internal, expect from us, what internal processes are required to support our objectives, and how best we can achieve on our plans within our limited financial resources. As this is our first year of implementation of the balanced scorecard, our overall plan will not highlight the desired outcome, as this will only become apparent in the years to come. We have this plan for 2008-2009 financial year. We were aware of the fact that 2008-2009 will be a short year for both cabinet and parliament. Every this year, we presented 7 bills for our 2008-2009 program. Only four of these bills were included. These are the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill, the Electricity Distribution Industry Restructuring Bill, the Energy Security Bill, and the Radioactive Waste Management Agency Bill. Today, the EPI Restructuring Bill has gone through cabinet and is still going through the cabinet process. Over the past few months, a lot of financial and human resources have been expended in addressing the electricity challenges facing our country. When one considers the role that is expected from ordinary citizens of our country with regard to energy saving, this does not call for rocket science matters, but a simple change in behavior patterns and good old-fashioned discipline. We therefore will continue with the energy saving campaign with the hope that sooner rather than later, countless citizens will together with government and adopt the culture of energy saving. Last Friday, government and other relevant stakeholders held an energy summit in Johannesburg. The Honorable Chairperson was in attendance. As the department, we are in the process now of finalizing our strategy to address the resolutions of the summit. The minister will help elaborate on those plans at her budget vote speech in 2 weeks' time. Honorable members, the past week has also been dominated by discussions on the electricity price increase that was presented by ENCOM, the National Energy Regulator. While the discussion has been robust, to say the least, it has provided us with a welcome opportunity to assess and identify gaps in our electricity cost. Electricity cannot be treated as just another commodity. It is a key input to our economy and is a basic need for most households. As any price increase will therefore need to be treated with sensitivity and be widely consulted among stakeholders. Honorable members, let me be the first to humbly acknowledge that the electricity price determination has largely taken place in a policy vacuum. Given the importance of electricity, both for our economic growth and social needs, government has worked hard in order to formulate policy positions that are to form the cornerstone of our electricity price regime. The policy vacuum has led to spurious speculation about the intention of the policy. The intentions of this policy are, just to be brief, to set a clear framework on determining policy prices, to achieve an appropriate balance between meeting social equity and economic growth, to create certainty and flexibility, and lastly, to ensure long-term financial sustainability of the industry. It is our intention to confront widely on the policy and develop a societal consensus on the electricity pricing policy. There have been fears and concerns raised with the department regarding the possible negative impact that the current electricity challenges might have on the integrated national electrification program. Honorable members, funding for the electrification program is part of the real plan. Therefore, there is no possibility of challenging this fund outside the electrification program. We will continue to implement the national electricity whenever that will come in, as led by the President. The unwanted identification pick up debate indicates that last year we were able to identify all criminals with both greed and non-greed. We have been able to commit 149 to 112 thousand, 876 schools. That is 176 schools more than planned initially. A shortfall was experienced, however, in the household connection, mainly due to administrative issues like delays in finalizing contracts, late delivery of equipment, and so on and so forth. In terms of our infrastructure, out of the 10 substation plans, we're able to build 8, and 2 are still in progress. Our target for 2008-2009 includes 2,500 schools, 150,000 households, and 10 bathroom infrastructure substations. The challenges of bathroom infrastructure in 2013 still remain approximately 80% of the households that do not yet have electricity. In the rural area, and specifically in the rural area of Limpopo, what we are calling the DMK, where there is no bulk infrastructure. With regard to basic electricity, we will refine our policy and introduce a common approach that targets the incident and increases the number of basic electricity beneficiaries. We have on a number of occasions assured the Africans that we will work hard to minimize the impact of the electricity on investment. We have also indicated that 2010 projects are not under threat. We treat the 2010 FIFA Soccer World Cup as a special project in terms of ensuring security of supply for hosting cities. We will continue to work hard to ensure that the Africa is a country and sufficient supply, given that international focus will be on us. We have embarked on a study to identify South Africa's country needs to ensure security air continuity of supply is secure. We are currently implementing the recommendations of the study, as well as outcomes emanating from the liquid fuels master plan. The process focuses on the entire value chain, which includes storage and import facilities, all other logistic infrastructure, such as the pipelines, etc. The diversification of the energy sector, more particularly attracting new investments in power supply, remains a huge challenge for our fast-growing economy. The importance of independent power producers as biofuels cannot be overemphasized in this regard. The introduction of nuclear in the form of IPP to deliver smaller projects, including cost generation, would thus facilitate better planning for mega projects and provide short, medium-term solutions to our power supply costs. The merits of alternative clean forms of energy for the security of energy supply in our country now and into the future are beyond disputes. Energy efficiency is well articulated in our National Energy Response Plan in the wake of energy supply challenges that confront our country. All efforts have to be extended in bolstering the National Energy Efficiency Agency to coordinate our national campaign of power conservation in all sectors of our economy and throughout our society. We are here to ensure that increased supply and use of cleaner energy sources through the provision of renewable energy, energy efficiency, and the promotion of environmentally friendly energy sources and technologies in line with the Department of Energy Development objectives. With the biofuels industrial strategy approved by Cabinet in December 2007, the Department is now in the process of developing the implementation plan, which will clarify the licensing criteria and financing mechanisms. We are accelerating the implementation of the renewable energy criteria, and as a result, before the end of this financial year, we will host a renewable energy summit to review progress towards the 2013 renewable energy target. The subsidy office within the department has achieved the target of subsidizing 3 projects in the value of approximately 5 million in the past year. With the intervention that the budget is controlling, we expect that more projects will be subsidized during 2008-2009 financial year. The department is taking lead in a program to roll out solar water systems, starting wind farm power projects with a capacity of 5 megawatts, will be launched are the use of nuclear energy for electricity generation. The implementation of the nuclear energy policy in Australia will commence through the year support the expansion of the nuclear sector. As part of the implementation, the pre-feasibility studies on installed conversion and enrichment and the fuel fabrication will be completed. The fabrication strategy on nuclear energy issues will be rolled out to ensure that effective and factually correct information is commenced in terms of communication in response to the possible concerns of the public. In order to ensure the implementation of the radioactive waste management policy and strategy, the Department will finalize the decision to effect the national radioactive management agency. The bill has already been approved by Cabinet. The Department is planning to sign and last Friday amended convention on convention on physical protection of nuclear materials. Conversion was amended in 2005 to include protection of nuclear facilities and material used for domestic use during the war action. During the year, the Department of introduced new regulations on non-proliferation of nuclear material to strengthen the regulatory control on the import and export of nuclear material. With regard to the hydrocarbons and clean energy, the extent of the nuclear supply constraints based on South Africa is hectic, and the situation is becoming tighter by the day. Our main focus of this work was the implementation of both the outcomes of the Energy Summit of 2007 and programs and projects aligned on the basic U.S. market. The growing interest in investing in clean energy projects through the Clean Development Mechanism. As a department, we have embarked on a mass awareness campaign through provincial and sectoral workshops to increase the number of CDM projects. We actively participate in international advisory forums for issues pertaining to sustainable development, diversification, and climate change. In relation to energy, insofar as relations to energy matters are concerned, investment in increased energy projects through the Clean Development Mechanism is increasing, and today the department has reduced the CDM project, of which 10 series has been registered with the CDM of the next floor. And one project has started cleaning carbon credits already. The third clean fuel, the ERP together with it, has agreed to start negotiations of fuel certification. It is envisaged that the negotiating process will be completed by 2010. A new fuel certification will must be received to enable companies to make investment decisions in line with recommended certification. The new certification should be implemented in 2012. Prices of petrol, diesel, and paraffin are currently regulated and benchmarked according to the international pricing system. Challenges that crude price determined by international markets, in which South Africa is not included, and we are not importers of oil. Both the country and the Department of Mineral and Energy are unable to influence these prices. With regard to household fuel prices like LPG gas, the DSP has realized that the market prices are far too high compared with those prevailing in other markets. Subsequently, the Department has embarked on a process to regulate LPG gas prices. Draft regulation that is gazetted for public comment, and it is insisted that the regulation will be promulgated before the end of the financial year. The Department and Commission will highlight the non-state paraffin applying flow in selected sectors, the result of which will feed into the South African National Assembly. Together with the stakeholders, we shall embark on awareness campaign to educate consumers on how to handle and use paraffin applying flow. That engage with the CCFG and municipalities to discuss and finalize the inclusion of other household energy sources, such as ethanol gas, LPG, into the same basic energy system. Our safety track record in the month has been a subject of great concern lately. As of the beginning of this year, we have lost 67 miles due to mine accidents. Although this is an improvement when compared to the 91 lives lost same time last year, this is not a good thing at all. Safety was collected by being decorated in mind following the instruction of the services, attached to the importance of the culture of safety about higher listening and learning the challenges of facing the market. We will continue to put extra effort into the recruitment and retention of skilled staff, and build the capacity for the mind level of the future. Human resource development plan is currently being implemented, and currently there are been 3 learner inspectors in full-time training and 8 personal students that will remind health and safety inspectors has been able to recruit to ensure that there will be qualified inspectors to serve the needs of the mind health and safety inspectors. Challenge, however, remains in the short term the employment of already qualified and experienced inspectors members. Good initiatives, however, are underway to alleviate the work constraints of the inspectors, hence strengthening government capacities to effectively enforce occupational health and safety standards. One, an investigation of occupational specific dispensation for inspectors, and two, investigation of the possibility of relocating to incorporate into the of government, my health. Honorable members, we have been implementing the infrastructure for a couple of years now, that is since May 2004 when it was formalized. One would expect that by now, all role players and stakeholders would work and break the spirit of the NCRC and its complementary mining charter. However, the department continues to experience challenges of poor and non-compliant from the industry, and also complex economic environment issues. Mining of strategic minerals cannot be handled in the same manner as other commodities. The question of national interest, including strategic stockpiling and beneficiation, will be taken into account. The need to fast track our beneficiation strategy to optimize benefits from our mineral resources cannot be overemphasized. If the beneficiation strategy seeks to fundamentally change the behavior of business, in order to facilitate a seamless and integrated participation environment for affected minerals, to increase rehabilitation process of serious and ordinary successful mines, were committed for the 2007-2008 financial year. The total expenditure on the first process amounted to $43.3 million. 11 aspects of rehabilitation projects have been identified for 2008-2009 financial year. Motivated employees with the right mix of skills and tools, operating in an organizational climate designed for sustainable improvement, are the key ingredients in driving process improvement, working within financial limitations, and ultimately driving customer initiative success. Department has unfortunately continued to experience a very high staff and overhead, although with some improvement when one considers 17.2% this year to 21.7% last year. The total number of vacancies for the same period has improved from 363 in March 2007 to 266 in March this year. As the interviews conducted with employees within the department indicated the following things. Better remuneration packages outside the public sector, conditions of better opportunities to grow and improve, workload as a result of high standards, takeover, career advancement, and development. In addition to the staff takeover challenges, the mandate of the department has also to some extent grown, not to some extent, to a large extent. Two major interventions aimed at addressing these challenges will be the implementation during this year, will be implemented during this year. This is the recently approved integrated human resource plan and the master business plan. The HR plan is to achieve the realignment and repositioning of the HR function to meet the HR needs of the department. Whereas the master business plan informs and integrates all systems to be developed and required within the department. Both these processes will promote the integrated approach towards the improvement of service in the participation of women and youth in mining and energy sectors is still a challenge. The department is committed to prioritizing government strategic objectives of transforming the mining and energy sector for the benefit of all, in particular the vulnerable groups. We will utilize small scale mining as a vehicle to broaden the base of the beneficiaries from the mineral resources of the land by introducing new and relevant industries. Our focus and effort to intervention in small scale mining will encompass youth development and women empowerment to give content to government facilities and future initiatives. This by no means means that women and youth will only be confined to participation only in small scale mining. This will be in addition to other opportunities that will be created for both women and youth in South Africa. Career guidance programs for learners in grade 10 to 12, good judge mathematics, science and technology classes in school are conducted annually. The department plans to undertake an in-depth assessment of this program. The department is serving the youth in energy mining and mining under organization with various training programs to enhance the development of skills among the youth in the mining and energy. The department has entered into a memorandum of understanding with consortium of youth funds, which anticipates that the fund will assist the youth in some of their projects based on the fact that women and youth have challenges in accessing finance. This is in spite of the fact that the fund supports not to finance mining and honorable members, if the honorable chair allows, we would now like to present the department's financial plan for the year. This is the project of the CFO.
Honorable chairperson and honorable members, I'll just present in summary the financial plan for the department in support of the development of the government. You can just put it on. Meanwhile, we are waiting for the presentation to come through. I'll just want to talk to the budget of the department as a whole. The budget of the department in the 2007-08 financial year is about 2.9 billion and it is further increasing to about 4.5 billion in 2010-11 financial year. It's actually divided into six departmental programs and one that relates to all the entities, the appropriated services. The largest being the largest expenditure being allocated to administration, which is to corporate services and CFO and ministry, and then followed by regulation and mine health and safety. I think what can be noted from the increase in budget starting from the year 2004, I think we believe it has increased at a rate of about 16%. Over time, which is inflationary and a few additional money that has been received in the program. Going further to the allocation in terms of economic classes, we have seen compensation of employees also a bit increasing, not at a very fast rate, starting from around about 290 in 2007 to about 414 in 2010-11 financial year. And the budget for the department in totality as well, if or the department excluding associated services or transfers and subsidies, stands at about 5.5 million and it also slowly increased to about 700 million in 2010. I think what should be noted there is that the budget as well for transfers and subsidies, although it looks like it is increasing, but it's not increasing at a rate which is fast enough. Looking at the utilization of funds over the years, starting from the year 2004-05 up until 2007, we have actually seen a steady improvement in our spending tendency. 2004, for instance, with 5, we had an understanding of about 4.5%, which has actually decreased and decreased up until 2007-8. We are actually standing at 0.93% on the understanding. I think this talks to some of the improvement in processes, especially as we look down at to local governments who are noticing some improvement in spending of in the spending of funds, although not fast enough. The analysis problem, I will not dwell into it in very detail, but I think it suffices to say that in problem one, I think the budget for problem one, which is about 209 in the next coming financial year, is separated into two. One addressing compensation of employees at about 82 million and goods and services at about 116 million. The trend there that is more important is that I think there is no much change in over the years of at least 210 except inflationary increases that have been provided for on the increases. So we're not hoping to see any much change in terms of staff numbers for over that particular period of time. The budget of the Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate has actually increased a bit. From 2007-8, we have provided for a little bit of more resources in terms of inspectors or in terms of compensation, which starts from, it goes right from around about 80 million to about 100 million in the 2008-09. And with the corresponding goods and services, it also increases a bit. Mineral regulation, we are not going to be seeing much of an increase. The budget starting from 136 up until 190 million over the period of over the MTF period. I think the major thing to note today is that the goods and services budget still remains a specific constantly over this period, and that money is mainly the rehabilitation project which the TG was talking about earlier on. Policy, I think there is not much of a change. If you look at the graphs which appear there, they're just more constantly over here because the budget stays at 73 million over the period, although it slightly goes down over the MTF period. I think it's actually the reduction of the money that we pay for some of the subsidies to the mine. The hydrocarbon and energy planning component has got a significant increase in 2008-09 financial year that compensates for more of the staffing in licensing and so forth, and other new components that are being established. But the budget is also still not sufficient enough because it stands at 52 million and it's going to be moving up until 79 million over the MTF period. Same thing with electricity and nuclear. I think what could be mentioned there is that on compensation of employees, we don't expect a significant increase, but on goods and services in terms of consulting and in terms of some of the issues that need to be covered, it's also expected to increase a bit. And then on associated institutions, there is no much addition except in face inflationary adjustment and the introduction of the diamonds, the regulator, the state diamond or the South African diamond and precious metal, the regulation that has been given a new allocation. I think I will end there. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you very much, I think before we continue, we will, because I don't want to move up to lose the grasp of what we are trying to oversee. So I think at this juncture, we are going to interact and then how the next will respond, and then the next presentation can come in.
The first issue is on the electricity challenges. Some, there are a number of questions which I've been grappling with, and I don't know if you would assist me or your team will. The first point is on your relationship with utilities, your public utilities, including Eskom. And in your explanation, you will explain that relationship maybe in the manner in which the department perceives or understands it. Because there were questions to the extent that we didn't know whether Eskom is a public, outside public utility or it's a private company. So maybe where you sit, you are in a position to explain that. Then some of the there is also a dispute between whether Eskom has a role of advising the government, or the department has a role of advising its utilities. So I don't know whether it's the other way around or what. Because also in the process of a crisis, there are accusations and counter-accusations about whether 10 years ago the department was advised of the possible crisis and the failure of the department not to respond to the anticipated challenges, and then problems were actually caused. So I'm just saying I can restrict my question to that, then I'll make a follow-up later. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Narek. This one was Honorable Nene.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is, I'll say that is a concern in terms of the loss of the life in the mining. Because really, talking about the 67 lives lost, really, it's a lot. And I would like to get the report. And if the companies, the negligence of the companies, would like to see a drastic action to be taken to these people, because the mine workers are complaining about the negligence on the side of the mine. So again, the concern in terms of the inspectorate, because it shows that the capacity is still not at the level. So we would love that if the department will quickly finalize that. We saw that there is a problem, but it should be quickly, because maybe in terms of this shortage of capacity is contributing to this accident because of
financial year and in the next financial year. if we don't know, we can't plan properly. So we need also to measure how far we have came, how many people we have reached, and what are the challenges, and how many people we envisage reaching. So that is one point I want to raise. Secondly, linked to that is the issue of the mining charter. We are only going to make an assessment of the mining charter next year when it is 5 years old, which I think is wrong. I am of the view that we should have had annual assessments so that we know from year one what we have reached so that we can target properly. We can't only make an assessment when we are 5 years old. That simply means that we have lost opportunity to improve in doing what we are supposed to do if we are going to wait for 5 years before we assess what we are doing. Then, so we all know that funding is a challenge. So in empowering youth and women, let us please make sure that we also plan for funding, wherever it will come from, but funding is always a challenge. Then, Chairperson, the issue of the environment and clean energy. On page 8, the DG is mentioning that you are working with DG on an agreement with negotiations on a fuel specification, which will only be completed in 2010. For me, that is a problem. In his budget speech yesterday, the Minister of Environment Affairs said that we as South Africa are among the most energy inefficient countries. We are the worst. So how then do we allow that we negotiate from now or whenever the negotiations started up until 2010 and only our specifications be implemented in 2012? That is unacceptable. We need to do this faster, because we all know what danger we are causing to the environment, to our health, and to the continent that we are living in. Chairperson, I think for now, another thing that I wanted to raise is the issue of the previously disadvantaged. In trying to redress the previous wrong, what mechanism do we use to measure our progress, whether we are making a progress in this redressing? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I wonder, because of quite a number of questions, I wonder whether I should first respond to these questions, and then because... Okay. Yeah, I think I must leave him to rehearse first.
It will be better if I first do a dress rehearsal. I know his are going to be very tough. And they are going to be very technical, I know. I'll respond to some of the questions that were raised, and my colleagues here will also respond to the watch board. Let me first respond to the question that was the last question, the one relating to the figures, that in terms of electrification, you know, we can measure it, but it doesn't seem that we can measure it in terms of women participation and youth. If I can refer the honorable members to the strat plan, to the document, the strat plan, on page 56, in respect of Program 3, Mineral Regulation. We are dealing there with redress. The strategic objective that we want to deal with there is to redress the past imbalances, increase the outcome, is increased number of HDSAs and women participation. And the measure is the number of rights granted to women-led companies, license, da-da-da. And targets, you can see that for a year is 18. So there are targets. The point that I'm trying to make, Chairperson, there are targets in respect of every strategic objective that we have set ourselves. So including women and youth, they are targets. And with regard to the evaluation of the charter, I agree that, you know, in terms of the law and in terms of the charter itself, the charter has to be reviewed after 5 years. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to evaluate it occasionally. We don't have to wait for 5 years if before we can evaluate progress. We do that on a regular basis, where we want to see what the impact of the charter has been. And it is for that reason, therefore, that if you look at how we have been processing applications in the past number of years, we have now changed from a situation where we would recognize a company as black-owned only if it is black. What we are now saying is that it also has to be broad-based. It was on the basis of our evaluation where we discovered that this now is leading and resulting to individual enrichment rather than broad-based empowerment. So we do some evaluations annually, and if the not annually, occasionally we do that. And if the honourable members, you know, would like to get some of the reports in terms of our evaluation of BEEs, I think we'll be able to present that information to the honourable members. And some of the questions will be answered by my colleagues here, but the one that I would also like to respond to is the one that deals with the relationship between ESCOM, between the department and its utilities and its associated bodies. ESCOM is not an associated body of the Department of Minerals and Energy. It is owned by government through the Department of Public Enterprise. The Department of Minerals and Energy is responsible for policy formulation, so that ESCOM then plays a role as a utility within the policy environment that has been determined by the Department of Minerals and Energy. Now, as to what advice people may be referring to in the circumstances, really I don't know what advice is that. Because the department, the company of which the Department of Minerals and Energy is the shareholder is PetroSA. And on operational matters relating to PetroSA, PetroSA engages with the shareholder department, which is the Department of Minerals and Energy. But a department that doesn't answer to the Department of an organization that doesn't answer to the Department of Minerals and Energy, I see no reason why it would have to interact with the Department of Minerals and Energy in terms of its operations, unless it is saying that the policies that we have formulated for us make it impossible for us to operate. And of course they would have to do that through the department that they own. So I think that's the relationship. It's a Nelly with electricity, Saki with theft and losses, and the capacity of the inspectorate. Okay, Gazi will deal with that, and loss of life will deal with that.
Thanks, DJ. Honorable Chairperson, member. The question from Honorable Member Tibet about paraffin price. It is correct. The paraffin price is increasing, and diesel and jet fuel are all increasing faster than all the other fuel. It's actually driven by, I guess, two things. Crude price has indeed increased. And it's always important to remember that back in 2000, crude was $15 a barrel, 1.5. Yesterday it was $124 a barrel. So, unfortunately, all of those things are derivatives of crude. So, crude does play a big role. But there is also another factor coming into this, which is the issue in respect of what is called generally the middle distillate, which is a group, which is petrol, diesel, sorry, diesel, paraffin, and jet fuel. All three of them, unfortunately, are used by most countries now to generate electricity, largely because of climate change debates and countries not making investments using coal-fired power stations. The only real quick power plant to build is one which is generally called OCGT or gas turbines. And unfortunately, almost all of them either use paraffin or they use jet fuel or they use diesel. And that group is called the middle distillates. So the price of middle distillates has been increasing dramatically. But I think the question asked by Member Tirela is, what are we doing about it? In terms of paraffin in particular, paraffin is one petrol product in South Africa that carries no tax at all. It has no fuel levy on it. It carries absolutely zero tax, because even in respect of VAT, it is VAT. It is zero rated in terms of VAT. So I think the only other alternative on a product that South Africa does not itself produce would be to subsidize. And I think, therefore, the question that will then have to be considered is that are we saying that is the best fuel for the poor? If we are saying that's the best fuel, then would subsidizing that fuel be the best way to go? I think those are the questions. I think, in respect of trying to do the best with paraffin, I would like to believe that the hands of government are really, really tied on this. Because there is very little else that can be done, except that globally there needs to be a change. There needs to be a global fight around this increasing crude prices, and also just to make people have making decisions in terms of generation of electricity and people moving away from generating electricity with paraffin and diesel. The issue of fuel specification, why 2010? The issue with fuel specifications, we know that in terms of the environment, they're actually fuel specifications driven by three different things. The first one is about the car park. It's sometimes it's futile to have the best of fuel in a population of vehicles which does not even have these catalytic converters to take advantage of this clean fuel. Because unfortunately, with some of the clean fuels, what you lose, what you gain in terms of reducing things like sulfur, you lose other properties of the fuel, and you therefore need to compensate with better technology. So if the cars themselves are not geared up to dealing with these newer fuels, it becomes a waste to actually make those fuels available. So the discussion, therefore, has always going to be a tripartite discussion, which is the Department of Transport, Department of Environmental, the Department of Environment NE, because we are actually regulating three things. There is the emissions level, which is about the types of cars you have, and it is about, I guess, the actual vehicle carpool, and the third one, of course, is fuel. But we have particular types of refineries which produce a certain type of fuel. Unfortunately, like what happened in 2005, when 2006, when we introduced the cleaner fuels of 2006, when those are introduced, you reduce the capacity of the refineries. And it comes with major disruptions. So the reason why in the original template, the challenge, we were targeting 2010, but it became clear that it would not be a wise idea to introduce fuel specifications in the year of the World Cup, number one. And secondly, before we have enough infrastructure in South Africa to be able to handle the cleaner fuel. But thirdly, with the timing of the introduction of the next phase of this is such that we are timing it with the possibility of a new refinery, such that we have the ability in South Africa to supply those fuels without necessarily importing the fuels from other countries. Thank you, Chair.
The issue on the electricity and nuclear funding, it's true. The funding is currently not adequate, and we are engaging National Treasury on making sure that we improve the situation, also taking into consideration that we had beginning of this year, we had an electricity emergency. And that emergency will need relevant support in terms of human resources and financial resources to make sure then that the department is appropriately resourced to deal with the emergency. Definitely that matter has been taken up with Treasury as we speak.
Thank you, Chair. On the matter of health and safety, there are a number of initiatives to address the questions around prosecution, and one of it being the review of the Mine Health and Safety Act to tighten the enforcement. The amount of fines have been increased from 200,000 to 1 million, and we're holding discussions with the Department of Justice to facilitate the processes of prosecution. And then on the capacity of inspectorate, that the DG alluded earlier to two initiatives. Those initiatives are underway, and they'll be finalized in this financial year for implementation next year.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll respond to two questions, the question of associated services and theft and losses. I'll start with associated services. That includes, it's actually all the transfers that we make to our state-owned institutions. All the entities that report directly to the ministry fall under that particular program. Associated in services is just a program name, but it includes all those transfers we make to associated to the state-owned institutions, including as well as the others to ESCOM or non-grid electrification. Anything that we transfer outside the department, we don't spend inside the department, is allocated under that particular program. And the theft and losses, if you look over the years, as you said, it has increased. Theft and losses mainly relate to some of the accidents that we normally have. Some of the losses which comes where people's computers are being stolen and so forth. That is what appears over the years. But the largest one that you are seeing as five million relates to some fraudulent activities that had happened in the department in the holiday seasons of December and January. It was actually out of our control. They actually gained access to our financial system, and such loss occurred in that period. I think the case is just with the police and
crime or call a crime unit and the asset forfeiture unit. They are busy handling that particular issue. I think we'll see some results soon. Thank you.
Okay, right. So now we are entering a very difficult phase. First, I just want to make a follow-up from what the honorable member asked. The honorable member asked a very important question here, which was whether Eskom is a private or a public utility. And then you have explained that you only are involved with Eskom insofar as policy is concerned, and that DPE is actually the main stakeholder that owns Eskom. That is where, because this committee needs exactly to understand this, because without a proper understanding of the relationship between Eskom, DPE, and GME, therefore it will be very difficult to reach the solution. Why? The first question is that if Eskom is a public utility, if it is, we may theorize that DME only goes as far as policy is concerned. I do not know what are the boundaries when you say that. The boundaries of DME regulating or taking decision over what should and should not happen at Eskom level. Two, if DPE then is the stakeholder operating Eskom, but it is, it can be a representative of the government, and the government has undertaken strict resolutions as to what should happen with energy, then it comes to the second question. Is therefore energy and therefore electricity a public good or a commodity? This is one of the questions that was asked in the energy summit. Now, you control energy policies by virtue of the fact that you are the policy making institution of our country. And you control, therefore, energy policies. The white paper is your product, the white paper on energy, and so forth. Therefore, if there is a resolution that says South Africa is a developmental state, and the poor, or every household, it is the policy of this government, that everybody must be accessible to electricity, and you are the architect of policies that should exactly address that. And then how do you then address the question of Eskom? If it is a commodity, if it's not public good, then how? Because then it means this is the first collision upon policy and operation. And this, you as policymakers of energy and trusted by this state, you need to come up clear. You need to come up clear. Second, or furthermore, maybe I must say furthermore, if Eskom is a private utility as per arrangements, new arrangements of public enterprises, its enterprises, then why would therefore Eskom want, when it want to expand its programs, want to use public debt? Why? Because once, if the government decided that, right, DPE, you operate this utility privately, look at it that it is just a profit-making entity, then where public with a DPE needs to expand, it does not need to come to public. It has to raise its funds through many means, including what Eskom said has done to go to, because that's what they were asked in the Energy Summit. And even when they came here, why would you go, why were you actually first negatively credit rated? Because if you have been not operating at a loss, then why would you be credit, what happened? Which made you to be negatively rated by the international community? These are questions. Because Eskom has been a monopoly and has never worked at a loss. So what has happened? It is now without money to expand its capacity. What has happened? These are questions. So this honorable member is asking a very, very important question. And it needs the response. But we go further. It says it wants 350 billion, $350 billion or something around that money that is for expansion. That's 327. Now, as far as I know, and if at all people can correct me, to construct a power station costs around 3 to 4 billion. It costs around 3 to 4 billion to construct a power station of the equivalent of 100 megawatts supply. Now, we heard from Scopa that in reality, the state budget to sustain the whole state and this asset is about 500 billion. Now, Eskom, to make its expansion alone, it was 327 billion. This state, as it is running, it's sustained by an equivalent of about 500 billion. Eskom alone says, in order to expand, having worked as a monopoly, profiting as a profit maker, it wants that it should be given 327 billion, which is more than half the money that sustains the state as a whole. So how do we justify it? It says, therefore, if you cut, we are increasing to 53%. How do we then deal with a situation like that? And there are more questions than answers. Right, we continue. And there are going to be many. Each time, even there in the Energy Summit, they, especially public tender, but they kept on referring to global market considerations. Now, global market considerations, in fact, one question that came from the Energy Summit, which was related to what ANC asked whether energy is a public good or is a commodity. One question that came there was that suppose we agree on this price hike, say, because there was what they call smoothing, a new terminology, smoothing of price hike. So suppose we agree on the smoothing, but one question came from one commission whether. Now, if we agree to this smoothing, what happens in the fluctuation of committing the fluctuation of of market forces and therefore inflation. Then DP was very clear that this also we will have to adjust those prices according to the international markets. And that poses even more difficult questions. And so, therefore it needs, we still need endeavor. I won't continue. We still need a lot of endeavor to really come to stability of price hike. I heard this morning that the COSATU set is going to spill people onto the streets if any price hike should exceed more than if NERSA can authorize anything beyond 20%, that people are going to be on the streets. And with all what is happening around the country with the so-called xenophobic activities, then you must know that criminals are going to take over even more. I don't think that you want that. And so, you are the policy makers on energy. You have a big challenge. Right. Then there is a question of PBMR. Very serious. Now, PBMR, where does it belong? Does it belong to public enterprise, or does it belong to energy, and how does it run in terms of energy policies of this party? There is also what we call, if the government undertakes projects like PBMR, which then, in fact, in this case, ESCOM as a public entity, as an entity of public enterprise, there is what we call cost-benefit analysis, which is what is an approach based on welfare economics, which is that the cost versus the profits of the project have got to be very well evaluated. And therefore, you take what really is the better return. In terms of policy, you should have advised, because in terms of energy policy, you should have advised using your cost-benefit analysis, whether PBMR is one that can be undertaken by government for the welfare of society. I'll pause there for now. I've still got more of this question.
Yeah. Chair, indeed, I agree that some of the topic, of the issues that you are raising here cannot be answered in this forum. They really need an endeavor, you know, because what we are here doing is just we are presenting a strategic plan that is based on the existing policy, not on what ought to have been in the policy. So some of the issues that you are raising are actually dealing with what ought to have been in the policy. Like, for instance, the definition of electricity as a public good or as a commodity. The policy doesn't talk about that, does it? And therefore, our strategic plan cannot respond to that because it's not contained in the policy. We, as public servants, we apply the policy and we apply the law as we find them. So, how we then find policy currently, we find it in such a way that it doesn't define whether electricity is a public good or a commodity, but it only stipulates what how people should access it. That's all. We're talking about access, we're talking about this affordability, we're talking about this reliability, but we're not talking about whether this is a public good or a commodity. So the strength plan then responds to that, and I would request with all due respect that some of the issues
relating to exactly. You see, that is why I was just actually, this is just an eye opener. That is how, therefore, your strategic plans will have very, very, very serious difficulties, because there are these gaps. You see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Because how do you then make a strategic plan which has got measurable objectives, output and outcomes, and when the basic policy and definition of concepts are not very well understood? That's a problem.
Policies which depend on what ESCOM is. So in general, we cannot say this cannot be discussed, it should be discussed as that in Dawa that is proposed, because they were not working on what ESCOM is. But what you are doing and what ESCOM is should be based on that, on what you are running away from.
Policy discussed define ESCOM as a public utility. It's clear on what ESCOM is, but what is not clear on is the definition of the product that ESCOM makes, whether it is indeed a public good or a commodity. And what I'm saying here is that we are here presenting a strategy. A straight plan of the department that is based on the policies and the laws that currently exist in government. If then the honorable members feel that the laws and the policies that currently exist don't sufficiently address the situation, let that decide so that we can indeed go and refine the policies. And the honorable members can then pass the laws, because it's their responsibility to pass the laws in order to address that kind of a situation. So what I'm therefore saying is that the kind of issues that are now arising are issues that cannot necessarily be discussed in the context of presenting what you call a straight plan. The answers that the honorable chairperson is asking are not the kind of answers that can be responded to in the context of the kind of a presentation that we're making.
I don't think that is exactly true, because you see, the police, you are the architects, you are the custodian of energy police, and therefore, when you developed the white paper on energy, you should have taken into consideration everything, or if you felt in subsequent years that there are some gaps here, it is your duty again to revise the energy paper so that it addresses exactly some of these gaps, so that you are able to come with strategic plans. See, they say strategic plans are not strategic. I mean, they are not strategic if they are unstrategic. So you have to have strategic plans that are really strategic. Otherwise, without knowing what you are dealing with in your policy dimension, then you will have unstrategic strategic plan.
The best way to, the best solution or option is to allow the delegation to proceed to the best of their ability, and all the outstanding questions can be noted.
Yeah, actually, this is why we have to note that we need to revisit the policy, the energy policy itself. That's what I think we need to do. We should have a resolution that energy policy has to be revisited so that we do not have dilemmas that actually face the energy summit because of some of these things. They came from very high level consideration of public policy or commodity. And therefore, what we do. So we need to reflect.
My understanding of the resolutions of the summit are that they have to be implemented. And the way in which, therefore, they have to be implemented will result in the review of the policy. So I thought that was implied in the resolutions by themselves.
That's why, you know, my response right from the beginning has been that the answers that some of the answers that you are looking for cannot be found in this context. They definitely cannot be found because they need research. You know, just like the summit resolutions do need a research. You know, the reason why, you know, the summit resolution was crafted in the manner in which it was done in order to enable us and all the people who are involved to go and look at the answers. It didn't expect us to provide the answers there and then. So which is why my argument right from the beginning has been that it cannot be this forum for us where we can then be in a position to do that. I agree with the process that we may have to get, we have to agree on the process that will enable us to do that, but not for us to provide the answers right now. It's not going to be possible. So those then that we are able to answer, we will answer, and we'll base them on the existing policy. And those that don't exist in terms of the existing policy, those that we don't have answers in terms of the existing policy, because I cannot formulate policy as I'm sitting here answering questions. It's not my responsibility to do that, nor can I suck the thumb and get a policy position from my thumb. A policy position has to be consulted upon. You, by the way, honorable members, you are also part and parcel of the stakeholders who have to be involved in policy formulation. You still have to be involved. So that's why I cannot just sit here and say this is the answer and then it becomes policy for the government. But the one that I can answer, because it's clear in the policy, is the responsibility of regulation versus the responsibility of shareholder minister. You know, companies operate within a policy environment. All of them. Be they public or private. And that policy environment in response of energy is formulated by the Department of Minerals and Energy. And players there are made up of privately owned and publicly owned companies. Eskom is a publicly owned company. And insofar as that ownership is exercised on behalf of government as a whole, the Department of Public Enterprises is the appropriate department. And we don't see any confusion in that because it actually insulates the processes from conflict of interest. So I cannot be a shareholder of the company that I also regulate because it becomes a problem. So that is the basis on which this thing is. So for us, the boundaries are clear. I formulate policy and ESCOM goes there and play in the sector. As is being overseen by the Department of Public Enterprise. So those are the boundaries shared. So the others are those that I can then say that I don't have an answer right now because they need policy analysis. We have to really, people of South Africa must come to a conclusion whether they regard electricity as a commodity or as a public good. I cannot myself say that. PPMR. The PPMR is still the same. The same principle applies. The PPMR as a company operates within a policy environment that is regulated by the Department of Minerals and Energy, but is owned by the Department of Public Enterprise. It's just as simple as it is, the case with ESCOM.
act. In fact, was raised in a very, very high meeting in Pretoria some time back with the previous chancellor, that we had a delegation to Pretoria to discuss the very same issues. And we met with the three ministers. We met with the Minister Sojika in the HQ, Pretoria. We met with Eric Owen, the Minister of Public Enterprise. And we raised the very same questions that you raised. And it was clearly put to us, gentlemen, what is this department responsible for and what is the other one responsible? I don't want us to repeat the very same issues which was raised and there was clearly given on this matter that you raised. And some, most of this very same conversation here, they were there because we did not. Nothing Tedua didn't go and represent Nothing Tedua. We went there as a delegation from Minerals and Energy. Multi-party. I emphasize, multi-party delegation. We went to them and we did oversight. Finally, we went to Treasury. And the very same question was asked. So I don't want us to be seen as embarrassing ourselves, which of course I do get an impression, because we are seeking for questions here which we will never get in the track plan now. We won't. Because the track plan is addressing the issues of this year's budget from last year to end this year. And if we also want to highlight some new specific issues, which of course is shortcoming, let us restart with the process in August with the medium-term budget process. It is where we will play a meaningful role. Even COSATU knew that they must go and make presentations at the Finance Committee, together, and the beauty of it, together with the Minister, this committee will have an opportunity to go and present the case. But right now, we are seeking for answers which we will never find. And those under the DGs and the DGs team, they are not responsible for this. They are responsible for just what is written there, and that's what they are presenting. I just want to give you that. Thank you.
I think it's out of order. It's out of order because here, the price hikes are not for other year, for this year. The price hikes that we're discussing, they are not price hikes of other years. They are for this. So we're discussing here things that are in the strategy because we have to know the department how it's going to deal with these things that are of immediate concern to people. And if you are saying that those things shouldn't be discussed in the strat plan presentation, then you are out of order. I can tell you immediately. I think we had agreed, DG had answered what he thought was possible at his level, and I had accepted that. And he said he would be able to answer what he thinks he can, but other matters, including the revision of energy policy in order to define public commodity versus, commodity versus public goods, I correctly accepted that because indeed it is a matter which needs platforms like we had in Energy Summit. But these are part of the reinforcement of the input to the department when it goes back to know that these are some of the things when they go to NADLEC or whatever, that these things should be revisited. And if you are saying that these things are out of order when we just come fresh from a summit to discuss these things, they shouldn't be discussing the strategic plan, and it means they are out of order. Totally. Yes. Right.
DG, I think you should continue
Does this issue around your balance scorecard, that our overall plan will not highlight the desired outcomes, as this will only become apparent in the years to come? Yeah, I'm not sure, because the balance scorecard seeks to actually address the desired outcomes. So as whatever evaluation you have, you make it based on the balance scorecard. So if we, maybe we should straight through and try to approximate or estimate. Maybe because the first time I can agree with you at that level, but there should be an effort to say this, we think as a department over a period of time will be the desired outcomes. So as you can address the issue. Yeah, I can just leave it there. There's a small follow-up about it to do. Thank
you. Thank you, Honorable. No, I just want to add things that I think should reinforce your focus on the strategic plan. How far are you with the question of policy? Because now I'll stick to policy dimensions and policy development in terms of. I know you have a policy in developing all other forms of energy, but how far are you with wave and tidal power in energy generation? There is a technology, and Sasol, I'm sure, will best articulate it, a very important energy-saving technology which Sasol has researched very, very deeply, called pinch technology. Have you looked into how you can, in the efficiency strategy plans, this pinch technology? It came from the U.S. after those 70 energy crises in the U.S. That's when they came out with this, and in fact, it's very developed. I won't budge much because there are some confidentialities about it, you know, within some of the stakeholders. But I think you must explore that thing and find out why Sasol decided to put aside technology. But there's something that I didn't see here. I've been looking through. Unfortunately, as I said, we only got it now. But in the strategic plan, I did not see the mission and vision statements and measurable objectives, outputs, and things. I don't know. But maybe it's here, but it is there. Oh, okay. That's why I see now that's the problem of getting it now in the morning, because I was able to look through it. I looked just now. I was trying to see. I didn't see it. That's why I said, I guess you'll excuse me, but at least it then marks what I was saying. That it's better to get this thing in good time so that you have enough time to go through that. Now, another problem is about licensing and this licensing and conversion procedures. What are the conditions that govern this licensing? Because I've had some people coming to say that they all the licenses and they try to convert, but they were told that they can't convert because their mining areas have been given to, the license have been given to other people. I just wanted to know what I said. I'm not very sure, but these are matters I may find out from the department how they work. I think those are the last questions.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Nelly, you'll answer the tidal wave power. The pinch technology, we've heard about it. because we don't know much about it, we haven't done anything about it. So we'll find out answers on what. Licensing check. I think you know the process of conversion of the old order rights into new order rights is something that is in the law chain. The conditions for that and the requirements for that are in the law. And you cannot then arbitrarily decide whether you are going to give this person a conversion or not. In terms of the law, if the person meets the requirements that are therein stipulated, you have to convert. You don't have a discretion. And what I don't understand, so it's not, and in terms of the law then, the holder of the old order rights has an exclusive right to convert the old order rights into new order rights. Nobody else has a right. You see, because you have this right, although it is an old order right, nobody can then be given a right where you have a right. It's totally impossible, Jay. I'm sure the people who are talking to you, I mean, they made a mistake. Because you cannot take somebody's right and give it to somebody else without infringing that person's right. So I don't know what were the circumstances, but insofar as the law is concerned, Jay, it is really very, very, very clear. The requirements are very, very, very clear. They are stipulated in the law. Must have a black economic empowerment, what you call, you must have a social and labor plan. You know, what we are doing in terms of the what you call, what, because the old act didn't take into consideration the fact that the mining industry had to be deracialized. So people, therefore, who had their licenses since time immemorial would, therefore, not be required to comply with the current constitutional dispensation if there was no need for them to come back for conversion of their old order rights into new order rights so that they can comply with the requirements that are currently needed in terms of the new dispensation. So as far as that one is concerned, Chairperson, it's clear, it's stipulated in the law, and they just don't know what to call about it. I think that's all.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that's it about this part of our presentation. Can the next presenter come in? I see there is DG of Public Enterprise. Welcome. It's a very warm welcome that you are here because we are discussing things that directly affect your department. Yes, honorable member, are you still on the all questions, or are you coming with a new point of order, or you mean that the presentation that's supposed to come in now should come in a new fashion or in a certain specific way?
Excuse me, just before you respond, you know, we have made both presentations. We're done. It's finished.
Okay. Because I thought they had a big delegation, I thought that they still have. Okay.
They were here to provide answers.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. So, there's Honorable Bo there, and then after that, Eric, and after that, Honorable Khalil. Yeah.
Chairperson, I think that what will help if the DG can, in fact, give us an indication in terms of the deadline where all these conversions have to be converted. If you can give us a time and a date.
Thanks, just check on the other two speakers there. Yeah,
I think I'm just raising a concern. I know the petrol price of crude is completely out of our control. But I also must voice a concern that, as it was said a couple of years ago, it was $15 a barrel. Now it's going near $150 a barrel. And crude is still crude. And one wonders what are, why it is escalating. And I think we need to have discussions on this, and especially this committee. And we should sit down and discuss and see how we can. Because we also need to lessen the burden on the man in the street. It, to fill your car is an hateful exercise. And cars are essential because our transport system is not up to date. So we are in the middle of this. And so I'm pleading that if we could find time where we could sit down and let's talk about this and find some solutions. And the other thing is that the formula to where we arrive at our price, I think we can look at that. I personally think that there is a way that we can look at it and see what we can do. Just to listen to the person is very important. I thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I mean, I concur with Honourable Lucas's comments around the petrol price and certainly the price of crude. You know, I mean, I have my own feelings about what's driving this, and the question which we have to ask as a world, in fact, is are we reaching peak oil, and is this the beginning of that, and is this price going to increase even more? This is something that I think we all have to engage with and have major ramifications across all aspects of our society. And I think we now need to start looking at this in very serious depth, not just South Africa, but the whole world. And on that basis, I also want to bring up the aspect, I see you mentioned energy efficiency and renewable energy. Of course, you probably know that I was going to bring that up again, because I constantly harp on this every year, because I still don't think we are giving this enough attention. In the environmental budget vote yesterday, the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, in fact, said we have got a lot of catching up to do, particularly when we look at other large developing countries such as China, Brazil, India. India has, in fact, set up a separate Ministry of Renewable Energy, and they are looking at really mainstreaming renewable energy. China set a target of 20% renewable energy. Our target is still very, very small. And, in fact, the amount of money which I look at we give towards this at the moment, I mean, we've got three projects which we've given $5 million to. It's infinitesimal compared to the amount of money that is given to other energy sources. But I don't think it's so much about just about how much money this department gives it. It's about what's the legislative and policy environment to encourage renewable energy in this country. And I mean, I've looked at the German experience, and certainly, I mean, they are a first world country and they can do certain things. But, you know, what we have seen there is a massive uptake of renewable energy, including solar. And they have far less sun than we do in this country. We're one of the best countries in the world for solar radiation, and we have almost no solar projects. And this is something that has to be rectified. And I mean, what I would put on the table is, have we considered the introduction of feed-in tariffs, where we can offer some kind of a premium for renewable energy, and we can probably make up that premium through CDM credits? I mean, have we looked at this? Because at the moment, we're kind of playing around the edges. We are not getting serious about this, and we need to look at it. Have we looked at, for instance, palaboric trucks? Now, I know that places in the Northern Cape along the Namibian border are the best places in the world for palaboric trucks, because they get more solar radiation than even the Sahara Desert. So, I mean, this is something we have to really look at. I know we're looking at the solar tower collector and we're looking at building a big one in terms of that, but we have to create the right legislative environment to encourage people to come and put projects on the table in that regard. I'll be interested to hear your comments on that. And just on energy efficiency, I read your...
Can I call for a point of order, please?
Yeah, point of order.
My point of order is that you see when we started, the member was not there.
Yes.
And from the number of things, the member is doing us more harm, because he's raising a cluster of questions which takes us back. And if we, you see, I can't say honorable member.
I think I agree with you. Honorable member, it's not our fault for you to come late.
No.
We have dealt with all those questions already very fairly. We were on those questions. Except one, I don't remember the wave when we are. I don't remember them addressing that one. So you can see that we raised all those questions. So you are very late. In future, you must apologize for being late.
Sorry if I can't do that, Chair. Sorry. I mean, there are only four of us, and I've had to split myself between three committees. So I have finally got you, then, so I'm very happy to be here.
But over and above that question that you missed responding, there was also one that I think I also missed putting across. I now noted here from my team. But it's a very simple one. You see, we have had, we were just looking through the old annual report, I think it's of 2006-2007, where we saw a number of vacancies. And then we thought that George Day is deals with, I think, human resources, if I'm not mistaken, right? And Scott is here. We saw a number of vacancies. Actually, usually get an answer when we talk about vacancies, that not because we don't have suitable people. But the very interesting thing in those vacancies, there were vacancies of 10 cleaners. So if you say you can't find cleaners on the street, I don't think what type of cleaners do you want. You see, and can His Excellency George address us on what exactly is happening? No, His Excellency will address us. 10 vacancies for cleaners have not been filled. You can't get cleaners. I don't want to remind him about all issues because they'll be even harsh. But it's just that, but also because I think it also falls directly with his responsibility, his skills development. How far is your department in producing some kind of a program, concerted program for skills development in energy? You can see energy has become the center of the world crisis. What are you doing?
Well, Chairperson,
you still wanted to have another question? No, he has already asked his question. Is it already? Yeah, it was about good. He's already. I don't know why you like Honorable Lucas like this. You have been looking after me, don't you? Now, this lady, Honorable Member, has been looking after me even when you have said she didn't see that you have already. She was looking after you. You are a very attractive man.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Just to reiterate the renewed energy targets and also the energy efficiency are taken very seriously by the department. Not only are they enshrined in the Electricity Regulation Act as amended, but also their importance has been reinforced again in the energy security bill. And hence, therefore, our family believes that we're giving it a seriousness that it deserves. Even the projects that we have requested the call for proposal that has been made recently, it also indicates that the premium is going to be paid for renewable energy projects that are there. And with regards to the tidal and wave energy, I must confess that as far as we are aware, it's still a project, it's still a program that is still in development and with all sorts of technologies still to be proven. And as soon as that has been done, it's going to be one of the technologies we're going to be looking at very, very seriously because we believe that it's got the potential of providing energy at very low cost and also the very, very clean energy.
I'm sorry, just a follow-up. No, this energy is actually Norway has already developed. They are using that. It's wave energy. It's part of energy program of Norway. So it's already there. Actually, I was discussing with the ambassador to Norway here, who was saying that the delegation from Norway of members of parliament will be around April, May. and we must make must arrange with the committee that probably we take a visit there to see how much they've developed this wave and tidal energy, because if you know it specializes in tidal power because of being mountainous and with many waterfalls, and so it's been working there. That it's one of the countries that is an example of the success of hydroelectric power, and therefore it went further to, I didn't know, I heard from him, but that the wave energy is also at a very advantage as a supplier of energy of Norway. And I think you must look into that. Okay. About vacancies and skills development.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, looking at the press, we realize that, we really improved our economy from a total of 363 and reduced to 256. But in as far as the old vacancies relating to cleanup, I would like to say we don't have cleanups on our future establishment because we've absorbed. So I'm sure you're referring to the old things that were reflected today in our annual report. And
let me ask you, the strat plan on annual report that we're doing was for 2006-07, isn't it? Yes, it was for 2006-07. And we were undergoing training, and they used the example of that strat plan. Africa were here training us. They use that example. That's when we saw that you've got so many cleaners, vacant posts for cleaners.
I think I may have to go and look at that document because it was a mistake or there's something that you want to say.
Yeah, the posts have not been filled because the function has been outsourced. The post remained in our system as vacant posts. By the unfunded, but the function itself has been outsourced. So they will not be filled. That's why they are seen as vacant position because the function is no longer there. They've just not been wiped out of the system.
I'm sorry, differently, because no one is right. As part of the plan, you change the dates, so they forgot to note that one. So don't worry about it.
Ladies, members say that, you see, you forgot to change the date. Now, you see, this is making you vulnerable because you pasted, you cut and paste.
No, because, you know, that function was outsourced. And since it was outsourced, we didn't fund those posts. And they are unfunded. They can post, therefore, as they appear in the structure. You see? But they're not longer exist. It was in the correct financial year. It's correct. It's correct.
Yeah, I'm sure you see that this is a very effective committee. We are very updated with your books. More than you do, probably. We know we are just trying to share it. We didn't understand how said you can't really find a job for 10 cleaners. See, when we become in such a crisis of unemployment.
No, it's so clear, Jay, that, I mean, you can get a cleaner anyway. there's definitely something so it's a threat of this. And insofar as the last question, the one on the expiry date for the conversion, in terms of the law, the prospecting, the old order prospecting rights expired on the 30th of May, 2006. They have already expired. And the deadline for conversion was the 30th of May, 2006. So those that were not converted, at that time, you know, they ceased to exist as rights for those people. So they became available for other people to apply for, to Because in terms of the policy, you use it or lose it. If you didn't use it, you lose it. The mining rights now will expire on the 30th of April next year, 2009. The 30th of April 2009. And once the old order rights get converted, they also cease to exist. Once they get converted and get registered, they cease to exist. So if you have not converted your old order rights into new order rights by the 30th of April next year, you lose that mine. You lose those rights.
I'm not telling you, what was the one that
is
prospecting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's prospecting.
Now this is the mining now.
Yeah, it's conversion now from order rights to new order
mining rights.
Yeah, that is for next year.
Yes, for mining rights. For prospecting rights, it was 2006.
Okay. I think it's clear. Yeah, all right. I think we'll be able to clarify stakeholders who come to us to complain. Oh, you are there, John?
Chairperson, the question relating to skills. There are quite a number of learnerships that we've introduced to the asset department. Of course, in line with our needs, and more so in as far as our line functionality is concerned. And in as far as skills development in the energy sector is concerned, we placed in total 100 interns, to expose them to the practical work environment. We also have scholarships that we introduced. I believe the other members are aware of the Malaysian Scholarship Program, the Gold Ashanti Scholarship Program, and as well as many others. And we are offering bursaries to serving employees and they're doing, very well in advice, completing their post-trick and postgraduate qualifications. So we're doing quite a lot.
With that, I think we've come to the end of this session. Thank you very much for your patience and, of course, some hot questions that have come from the committee, but they are not there to test you. They are there to really give an input and direction to strengthening the department, because that is the duty of this committee. I think you must bear with us. Don't think that we were probably uneven. No, we are strengthening you. We want, when you go to these platforms, to know that actually the institution like Parliament is behind you, but it wants that things be done the correct way. Thank you very much.
What about the financial presentation? Well, let's place it on record that because we have time to go through it technically, but we don't have a problem in adopting it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.